This coming Sunday, we will celebrate Mother's Day. Mother's Day is actually an American invention that began in 1914 under the Woodrow Wilson administration, and it was inspired by Anna Jarvis, who wanted to create a national campaign to honor her deceased mother's life's work. This day has become a fixture in American society to celebrate our mothers and express gratitude for all that they've done for us. And perhaps it is also an opportunity for us to pray for those who yearn to be mothers, that they too should be blessed with this opportunity. Tomorrow we will read Parshas Emor. So I wonder, is there anything in Parshas Emor that can guide us in our understanding of the Torah's perspective of the Jewish mother? Well, if we want to study the role of the Jewish mother, we can read about the stories of our imahos, of our matriarchs, of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And it would have actually been then more convenient had Mother's Day fallen out in the fall season, when we read all the parshios in Sefer Bereishis that contain all of these stories. But it was not to be. This year we celebrate Mother's Day the day after we read Parshas Emor. And I actually think that Parshas Emor has plenty to say about Jewish motherhood. On the surface, this parsha has nothing to do with Jewish motherhood. It describes the laws of the Kohanim, the laws of Shabbos and various Yomim Tovim, various holidays. But there is a story towards the end of the parsha which is peculiar in its own right, because Vayikra is a book of mitzvos. So I kind of wonder why this story is recorded in this book of mitzvos. In any case, there's a story about a man who gets into a fight with another man, and the first man either curses God or curses or uses God's name to curse the second man. And who is this man? Well, he's anonymous. The person who curses either God or the other man does not have an identity except for the fact that we know the name of his mother. It's Shlomis Bas Divri. We don't know his name, just his mother's name. Now, it's somewhat normal to get into a fight. Most people at some point in their lives get into fights. But the problem may not be fighting per se. The problem may be how we fight. And Shlomit's son apparently does not know how to fight. He doesn't understand that when you fight, you shouldn't curse God. And I wonder what led Shlomit's son to curse in this way. In my view, the second half of Sefer Vayikra is all about achieving Kedusha, about achieving holiness, sanctity outside the Mikdash, outside the temple. Last week's Torah portion, last week's Parsha lists different methods by which we can achieve Kedushas Adam, sanctity of man, through various interpersonal mitzvahs. And Parshas Emor, with all the holidays, lists the different methods by which we can achieve Kedushas Zman. We create sanctity in different parts of time. On the one hand, Kedusha is achieved through actual concrete mitzvos that are listed in these parshios. That being said, Kedusha is also achieved by through what the Ramban says in last week's parsha. Kadesh es atzmecha b'mutarlach. Sanctify yourself with that which is permitted to you. The letter of the law is insufficient. According to the Ramban, we must also follow the spirit of the law. When it comes to the Kedusha of mitzvos, Beit Adam Lachavero, for example, interpersonal mitzvos, it's not merely a social contract between two parties, but we are required to go above and beyond that. The mitzvah, the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, of loving your friend like yourself, whatever the interpretation is, it is certainly more than a social contract. It's not just about concrete actions. It's about the spirit of the law. It's about our attitude towards each other. And what is the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yom Tov? Certainly it involves the prohibition of work. But taking the approach of the Ramban, it's also about the spirit of Shabbos and the spirit of Yom Tov. And in fact, that's what he writes as his explanation for the word Shabbaton in the Torah, that the Yom Tovim are days of Shabbaton, cessation from work. But it doesn't just mean refraining from the technical, legal definitions of Malacha. It's about an atmosphere of Shvisa and Malacha. It's about complementing the objective compliance of the formal requirements of the holidays with the subjective experience that today is different. That I do sense in the Shama Yisera on Shabbos, sort of an extra soul, an extra feeling, an extra spirit on Shabbos. That I do perceive God's divine presence in a more intense fashion today than I do any other day. Kedusha is more than the letter of the law. Kedusha is the spirit of the law. And in fact, says the Torah, I'm going to share with you a story of an individual who did not live a life of Kedusha, who did not observe the spirit of the law. And therefore, when he had a disagreement with another person, a regular, ordinary quarrel between two anonymous individuals, which is very typical. What happened? What happened was that this man lost control. He couldn't control himself. He acts improperly, and eventually he ends up cursing God. And how do I know that it was about the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law? Because the mother is the only person that is named in the whole story. What is the role of the mother in the household? The mother creates the atmosphere and the environment of the household. I might argue that the father, with his obligations to observe more mitzvos asayshes man grama, positive time-bound commandments, focuses more, not exclusively, but focuses more on the letter of the law. Whereas the mother focuses more, again, not exclusively, but focuses more on the spirit of the law. And in fact, this is what Rabbi Soloveitchik once wrote, that without his mother, he would have been a soulless being. And perhaps, if we take this perspective, that it was the failure of the mother to inculcate the proper spirit of the law that ended up causing this individual to do the unthinkable, to curse God, as it were, then this may explain the specific location of the story in Sefer Vayikra. A colleague of mine pointed out that immediately before the story, we read about the holiday of Sukkos. Ki basukkos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael. We read about the Anan HaKavod, the cloud of glory on which the mitzvah of Sukkah is based. And then we read about the obligations revolving around the menorah and the lechem haponim, the holy bread. Now, weren't the homes of Sarah and Rivka, according to Rashi at the end of Parshas Chayisara, weren't they homes with miracles? But not just any miracles. There were specific miracles. A candle was always lit in the house. There was always a blessing in the dough, and there was a special cloud over the tent. The exact same miracles that are mentioned immediately before the story, where the only one identified in the story is the mother. A mother who has the ability to inject an atmosphere of Kedusha, of sanctity in our lives, but also has the ability to do the opposite. And the results, as we see from this story, are nothing short of disastrous. An individual can read a book in order to know what the letter of the law is. But to know what the spirit of the law is, this is something that can most easily be learned in the home. And it is the mother who has a unique ability to teach us the spirit of the law. To those of us who are fortunate to have living mothers, please thank your mother on Sunday. Please thank her for raising you, for taking care of you, and also remember that it's likely because of her that you sense what Rabbi Soloveitchik described as the warm hand of God resting on your shoulder. That you sense that Torah is not just something that you do, but it's something that you feel. That it's a part of us. And we feel that not just by observing the letter of the law, but we feel that by observing the spirit of the law as well. My mother, unfortunately, is no longer alive. But like Anna Jarvis, I too can use Mother's Day as an opportunity to honor her and reflect how she shaped my life. And for some of us, our biological mothers may have not served in this role, but there may have been others in our life who have done so. And so for some of us, Mother's Day may be an opportunity to thank those who have always loved us unconditionally and those who have inspired us. And maybe it's also an opportunity for us to reflect and see if there is someone that we know who doesn't have someone who acts like a mother should, someone who provides unconditional love and inspiration, and whether we can fill that role for those in need. May we all seek to live lives of Kedusha, of holiness. And this coming Sunday, may we pay tribute to those who are best equipped to help us achieve this goal, achieve this sense of Kedusha. We'd like to wish everyone a wonderful and sweet Erev Shabbos.